Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmeton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
And of course, this time of year, you know, we're all thinking about the new year that's just about upon us. And, you know, whenever we think about the new year, we start thinking about new things, don't we? We start thinking about what is it that I want to see happened in my life in 2019, and you know, what am I believing for, what am I expecting, anticipating, and you know, we start setting some expectations for the new year and start thinking about you know, what we want to see happen, what new things we'd like to see happen in our lives. And you know, sometimes when it comes to New Year's, I don't know about you, but I've had times where it's like all I need to do is bring out last year's wish list and change the date. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've still got some things that didn't happen last year that I want to see this year. And so we'll just change the date and we'll go on with that. But you know, for the most part, we tend to want to see something new. I think new year, something new in our lives. And I don't know what your expectation is. I don't know what you're looking forward to. Maybe for you, new is a new vacation destination. You know, you want to go someplace that you've never been before. Maybe that's the new thing that's on your mind. Maybe for you, it's about a new line of work. You know, it's time for a change, and you've been doing something, but you really feel like you've got something else you'd love to learn about, something that you'd like to, you know, get involved in. So you're thinking about a new career, a career change that might be happening for you. Maybe for you, it's about a new home or a new car. Sometimes the something new is something that's new to you, and that might be what you're thinking about. Maybe it's about some new adventure that you've never done before. Maybe as a follower of Christ, you're thinking about, I want to do something new in ministry. I've never been involved in, and I'm starting to think about, you know, I want to get involved with children or get involved with youth or some other aspect of church life. And you're like, I've never done that before. It'll all be new to me, and I think I'd like to do something new. So often this time of year, that's what we're thinking about. That's what we're focused on. We're focused on the new. But you know, I've discovered that when it comes to our personal life and when it comes to things that need to change about us as an individual, that it's not so much about new as it is renew. That it's not about I need to add something that's never happened in my life as much as it is about I need to renew something about myself. I remember about 6 months or so ago, I was just spending some time, you know, alone with the Lord in prayer. And my prayer life is not complicated. It usually involves a cup of coffee, getting alone. If it's warm, hopefully it's on a deck somewhere. Not this time of year, though. And, you know, I was just having a conversation with God where, you know, and I don't know if you've ever done this, where you asked a question, then you went, what did I ask that for? But I had one of those where I just was spending some time with God, and I just prayed, and I said, Lord, what do I need to change? And you're like, oops. And you know what? The thing about it is as you walk with God, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, it's not like he needs 10 minutes to think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like God says, well, let me get back to you tomorrow about that. I'll meet you here. You bring the coffee, and we'll talk. Instantly, it came to my heart. This thought was this. You could use to be less negative. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought, wow, man. You know, I'm thinking, this is insightful. I think you're right. I think you're right. And it's like when, you know, you walk with God, when God speaks something to your heart, it wasn't like, where'd that come from? You know where that came from. And so I'm just like, kind of like amazed that I got such a clear answer so quickly, you know, and I'm thinking, this is incredibly insightful. I should go tell my wife. So I did. She's like, you needed to pray about that? Like, this is news to you? You know, kind of thing. But here's the thing about this. Think about this for a minute. That is, if you see something that's developed in your life and you think, you know what, I've become maybe a little bit negative maybe become pessimistic, maybe become cynical towards things in life. Maybe there's fear that you hear coming out of your mouth. Maybe there's you're skeptical or doubtful, or you see yourself mistrusting in relationships, or cautious, maybe even cold-hearted and indifferent. If you see that happening in your life, here's one thing we know about that for sure, and that is this: you didn't start that way. Your life didn't start that way. You've experienced some things that have happened in your life, and then how you process them has left you with that condition in your heart. And that's why God says he needs to renew, that is, bring you back to what you once were, or bring you back to what he intended. Because, you know, when people are like that, we know this, and I know this because of having all the grandchildren around me, and that is this: none of them are like that. But there's things that they go through, things that you and I can go through in life, misprocessed, can leave us with those things, and God wants to renew or bring us back to what we really should be. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read from there as we begin here today. Verse 17 says this: "So I'm telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. You shouldn't live your life like the Gentiles anymore." That is, people that are far from God. "They base their lives on pointless thinking, and they are in the dark in their reasoning. They're disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. They are people who lack all sense of right and wrong and who have turned themselves over to doing whatever feels good and to the practice of every sort of corruption along with greed. But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ. Since you really listened to him and were taught how the truth is in Jesus, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit." So the scripture is just talking about, like, you have a former way of life, something that you've learned from the world around you and from the ways of people around you who are far from God. And now he says, now you're in Christ, and what needs to happen is you need to renew. That is, you need to bring your thinking back to the way it was before you learned all that stuff that got into your life. You've got to change your thinking. You've got to renew in order to experience the new. And you know, as I was spending that time in prayer and felt that God spoke that to me, very quickly, it was like an awakening. The Holy Spirit just started showing me habits that I had had in my life, good habits I'm talking about, spiritual disciplines, that I had begun to let go of. And I literally opened up a notebook that I had in my journal with me and started to write things that I either used to do or that I know about that I was not practicing on a regular basis right now. And God was showing me that's the key to changing what needs to change in your life. And so the kinds of things that we do, these were the kinds of things that we do when, you know, when you first give your life to Christ, some of those disciplines, those habits that you have that are all good habits born out of your hunger for God, and you're reading the Bible and praying and you're doing some of these different things on a daily basis. But here's the point, and that is this: the path to the new thing in your life may be through renewing an old thing in your life. In other words, a lot of times we're looking and we're thinking, oh, the new is about something I'm adding to my life. Well, maybe the new in your life is actually about looking at an old thing that needs to be renewed, that needs to be revitalized, that needs to be brought back again into action into your world. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52, the scripture says this: "Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and things old." Things new and things old. In other words, we don't just need to go into the new year looking for something new that we're bringing into our life. We need to go into the new year thinking about what is it that might be old, but I need to make sure that I bring it into the new year. And it's so easy to find yourself sort of losing, if you will, some of the old habits that you might have had. And even in a walk with God, you can have spiritual disciplines like reading your Bible every day, or prayer, or meditating on Scripture, not just reading Scripture, but really thinking about it and getting it, not just in here, but in here, and praying over things in your life where you're speaking God's promises, and this is what God's Word says, and being active in church life, and connect groups, and serving, and all these things. And you know what? When you're like a new believer, those things are a lifeline for you. Those things are bringing so much good things into your life and change and all the rest of it. But once you've got victory and freedom and things are doing well, it can fall to a place of neglect. And you might not even really be aware of it. And now you're living with the fruit of some of that neglect. But it's about bringing the old thing into the new year, in order to renew, in order to bring change, in order to bring the new thing God wants to do. Now, we do this all the time. Think about Christmas. Christmas is a time when we kind of get, I'm being modest about it, we just forget our diet. You know, it's the time you go to the coffee machine and you grab about 6 of those chocolates. Okay, all right, at least there's one other person here who did it. And you get into all that stuff, and you just kind of lose it, you know, on some of those things. And I can remember even between services at some point in the Christmas season, I had my granddaughter with me, who's like 20 months old, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll break off a little piece of this homemade Christmas cookie for her. She rejected it and then pointed to the cookie and said, I want the whole thing. I don't want that. You eat the little piece. I'll take the whole cookie. And she finished it before we got into the next service. But the point is this, is we do all these things, and then what do we do in order to deal with ourselves? We go back to the old thing. We say, I got to get back to my old eating habits. Can't eat like this. I got to get back to my exercise habits. I've got to bring the old thing into the new year. I can't keep things like this. In order to keep my health up, I got to bring the old thing into the new year. You do the same thing when it comes to finances. You know, you might have seen your credit card become your debt card over Christmas. What do? You get back to the old habits of how you manage your finances in order to change it and do a new thing in the new year, in order to see it go where you want to go in the new year. And so my encouragement to you is to make sure that you're bringing something of the old into the new year. And the question is this: what are the old things that you need to bring into the new year? What are the old things that you need to bring into the new year? Things that might have been neglected, things that might have been put on the shelf, things that you might have not even up till now kind of been aware of, but you need to bring those old things into the new year to experience renewal. You know, as a church, we're going to be bringing some old things into the new year. Over the years, we've had different avenues of ministry to help people that were really struggling with some difficult things that they went through in life, and struggling with forgiveness, and struggling with receiving healing into their soul, things that had really hurt them in life, some that were struggling with addictions that got developed. And we'd had some things that we'd kind of put on the shelf and had other focuses, but this year we decided we're bringing the old thing into the new year, because we know there's people that need healing, there's people that need freedom, there's people that need God's help to get set free and be made healthy. And so we're bringing some old things into the new year. But I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about three different old things that I want you to consider bringing into the new year. Three different old things to bring into the new year. The first one is this: to live by faith and believe God for his promises in your life. Live by faith and believe God for his promises in your life. You know, when you think about your past, in getting started to walk with God, and you know, you prayed about everything, you prayed for everything, you You know, every need was met with seeking Him. Every decision was met with seeking God. And you know, you may have experienced times where it's like, man, I've got a need in my life, and I'm just believing God and praying and seeking Him for, you know, the next job or the career move or maybe getting into university or whatever it might be. And you're just constantly, we're just so impressed about seeking Him and putting faith out for God to open up doors and do things in your life. And maybe even it might have been like your first home and you're praying for that to happen, or, you know, some other need that might be in your life and you needed a miracle financially, or maybe it was your health and you're like, I need God to heal me. I need a miracle in my health or direction in life. And there's like all these open doors, but it's more like confusion than opportunity. And you're praying for direction in your life. And, you know, especially when you're young, getting started in life, and all of these things are a big deal. And you just developed a seeking of God and praying and looking to the Lord to guide, to direct, to provide, to do all of those things. You know, even as a church, when we first got started, I can remember us getting our first building. And just the walk of faith and trust towards God and praying and grabbing a hold of promises from Scripture and people giving and just believing together for, and we knew it's like, man, we are over our heads. We definitely need to see God do some things here and provide a miracle for us. And of course, He did. You know, and then as the church grew, it's like, well, we need our next location. So you're believing and trusting, and we couldn't even find anything, let alone buy it. There's nothing available, and we're just believing, God, you got to resource this. And then finally something came available, and we were able to get into that, and then outgrowing that and getting to where we are today. My point is that all throughout that journey, there's just constantly a faith towards God that says, God, we're needing a miracle. We're expecting you to open doors. We're believing for your provision. We're looking to you to do what we cannot do on our own. That's what I mean about living by faith. And it's a great, great thing to go through. But you know, in life on a personal level, you don't stay that way. As life goes on, your life develops, and now it's like you're not praying for a miracle every week. You don't need a miracle to pay your bills next week. You know, you've figured it out. You've learned how to do a good job managing your life, and you've grown in those areas, and you're doing a good job with your family and some of these things and your health, and you're just not at that same place of need, and you're certainly not necessarily in a place of crisis. Even as a church, we can be at a place where it's like, well, we just don't have the same needs that we've had, so we can get comfortable. We can kind of get an attitude of, well, we've kind of arrived, and you know, it's all good, it's all cool, and we just don't have the same needs, the same sense of desperation. But I'd submit to you that living by faith shouldn't just be about your need or a personal crisis, but it should be a lifestyle, because you may not need to believe God to move in your life personally. You might be doing great, but God has people in your world that you need to be believing for, that you need to be praying for, that you need to be expecting for, that you need to be looking for Him to do a work in their life, and your faith needs to be exercised. The only difference is it's not about you, it's about others that He's using you to make a difference in. And the same thing for us as a congregation. It's not about, well, we're believing for our needs, as you know, and now we're comfortable. No, we are now at a place where it's not about bricks and mortar, but it certainly is about lives that need to be changed, that need to know Jesus, that we need to reach out to. And the purposes of God always require us to exercise faith and to expect God to do what we cannot do on our own. And so believing God in your life doesn't need to be initiated by a crisis or a need, but can be initiated by vision. By just having a life that's full of vision that says, man, I'm expecting God to do a work in me, but I'm also expecting Him to do a work through me to make a difference in somebody else's life. And so I am trusting and believing and praying that He will use me, that He will use you. I'm standing in a place of faith that God's going to do amazing things in and through my life and your life. And I've not left faith on the shelf. I'm bringing that old thing into the new year. You know, maybe you think about finances, and you may not be at a place where it's like, man, I really need, you know, resource for my own life personally. But you might be in a place where God wants to use you to resource his purposes, to be able to be generous towards, you know, towards the church and towards ministry and towards all of those things. And so though you're not using your faith, though you're not believing for some, you know, some kind of personal financial miracle, doesn't mean that God can't use you in a ministry in terms of giving and those kinds of things with generosity and believing for those things. And so my question is this: what are you believing for? As you go into this new year, what is it that you are looking to Jesus and saying, I need you to help me with this. I need you to see me through with this. Not just what are you believing for, how about this one? Who are you believing for? Because your faith is needed to help somebody else in their journey and their walk with God. What are you believing for though? Think about that. What are you believing for in your family? What are you believing for in your future? What are you believing for when it comes to God using your life to make a difference in the lives of others? What are you believing for in terms of your walk with God, your career, all of those things? You know, I've got some things that I've just decided I'm believing for God to do some things. I'm not just going into the new year passive. Well, we'll just kind of see what happens. Instead of going into the new year passive, go into the new year praying. Go into the new year talking to God. Go into the new year believing God for his promises in your life. For instance, I'm believing for my family and extended family to be blessed with health and prosperity. So why not? 3 John 1:2 tells me I can. So I want to believe for that. I want to believe for the church to have its greatest year ever. Now, you already heard, we already had the greatest year ever this year, right? We already had the most amount of water baptisms we've ever had. We've grown, had, you know, 3 services. Christmas Eve was unbelievable. Oh my goodness. Had an additional 700 people out on Christmas Eve. So that was just another, you know, just record after record. But you know, just because we had a good year doesn't mean we can't have a great year next year. It's not like God says, well, that was good. Now you need to take a break. Forget about that. You know what? There are still people that need Jesus. There are lives that need to be changed. We need to make a difference. So why not believe? You know, on our 25th anniversary, we posted up a sign on the wall that says, the best is yet to come. That's not just a nice phrase. That's a prophetic expectation that what God has for us in our future is even greater than what he has done in our past. And so I'm believing for a better future. I'm believing that this year we will reach more people and grow even greater than we have in previous years. I'm believing for the salvation of people, but not just in a sense of needing forgiveness and eternal life. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs to be forgiven. Everybody needs eternal life. But you know what? There are people that need to be rescued. That they don't. It's not just about what God's going to do for them for an eternity and about having a relationship with Christ, but they literally need to be rescued. And it's not about something we can do for them materially or those things, but it is about them encountering Jesus to heal and change their lives. And I can tell you, on a day like today where we're having all these water baptisms, that there are stories of people that have went into that tank, that tank and their meeting of Christ meant their life got rescued. Got rescued. Not just that they got a newfound faith and a relationship with God, but their life was in a point of crisis where only in meeting Jesus were they changed. You know, I'm believing as we go into this new year, we're going to see a lot more lives rescued. A lot more lives rescued. I'm believing for more miracles in the new year. We've got a lot of great miracle stories in our church. And, you know, we've got children in our children's programs that doctors said would never exist, but parents got a miracle. And now there's babies in their homes. And I'm believing for more miracles, not necessarily the same as those ones, but other ones, you know. He said, why do you have to believe for miracles? Because I know there's people that are hurting. Because I know there's people that are fighting cancers and diseases and sicknesses, and that same Jesus who did miracles when he walked on this earth told us that greater things will we do. And so I know that Jesus still does and wants to do miracles for people's lives. I'm believing for finances for every good work that this church wants to do. Okay, number two. Number two, be intentional. Old things that need to be brought into a new year. Be intentional about pursuing spiritual growth. Be intentional about pursuing spiritual growth. Spiritual growth does not happen just kind of like default, just kind of like, you know, it'll just happen if it wants to happen. It happens by intention. It happens by intention. You know, as a new believer, there are spiritual habits that we embrace and we grow our relationship with God through our daily Bible reading and, you know, getting the scripture in our heart, prayer, church involvement, all those things that we do. And when everything is new, it's easy to be motivated, isn't it? You know, I can still remember the first time I read the Bible, and you're like going through these stories, and you're like, I can't hardly wait to read tomorrow and see what happens. Oh, wow, look at that, he rose from the grave, great. You know, it's like, you know, everything was new. And so as you're growing in your relationship with Christ, and as you're pursuing him, you find yourself breaking old bad habits. You find yourself experiencing God healing hurts from your past. You find yourself getting victory over temptation. You find yourself increasing in wisdom and direction and freedom and positive change in your life. And eventually you can have a thinking that goes, maybe I don't need these spiritual habits like I used to. But there's a fallacy in that, and that is this, because you become plateaued. And here's the fallacy, and that is this, that thinking, seeking God is just about dealing with issues in your life. Seeking the Lord is about building your relationship with Christ. And as you focus on building your relationship with Christ, Jesus the victor brings victory into your life over the issues that you're facing. That's the process. That's how it works. In Philippians 3:7, the Apostle Paul talks about this when he says it this way. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for Christ's sake, for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, just hear his attitude. It's about relationship. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul, twice in this passage, just talks about the incredible value of knowing Jesus. You know, not something he gets from Jesus, not something Jesus does in his life, but just simply the relationship of knowing him, of being in relationship, of being in fellowship with Jesus, of walking with Jesus, of doing life with Jesus. That's his focus. That's what it's all about. And it's about keeping that passion to know Jesus that is so important for our future, that, you know, it's about knowing his presence. You know, it's about getting to know him so that, you know, when you're in a time of prayer like I was and God just spoke something to me, I wasn't like, where did that come from? You know, I mean, did somebody say something? Was it last night's pizza? You know, whatever. It's like, no, when you've walked with God and you make a point of getting to know him, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you have no question as to where that came from. Why? Because it's about knowing him. And when we value knowing him, we grow in that relationship. And this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about having that focus of just growing his relationship with God. You know, I find it's people who are expecting God to use them that are intentional about seeking him. You know, as I look at the Apostle Paul's life, I see both of those factors working together. He knew he needed Jesus to show up I mean, he's going around planting churches. He's doing all this ministry and stuff. And he's like, man, I cannot do this. This is not about me. I need God to move in people's lives. And it's in the context of you being used by God that it puts a passion in you to know God and walk with God in even a greater way, because you realize how much of this is not about you, but about him. And so he's seeking God, getting to know God, and really growing in him. And it's all about his relationship. Be intentional about pursuing spiritual growth. Be intentional about your relationship with Christ growing and increasing, getting to know Jesus, walking with Jesus in a closer relationship than ever. This is not meant to be a religion. A religion is where you just learn a formula of how to live and what you're supposed to believe, and then you go on about your life. That is not what Christianity is. Christianity is about a relationship with a living God, a resurrected Jesus, walking with Jesus through life, getting to know him, encountering his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking into your heart, guiding your life and working with you and his purposes and all the rest of it. So keep that focus. Bring those old habits into the new year that will grow your relationship with Christ. Number three, keep your passion for the purposes of God. Here's the third, old things to bring into a new year. Keep your passion for the purposes of God. One of the things that is spoken about in so many different ways in the New Testament is about just keeping a heart and a passion for the kingdom of God. That is staying passionate about what God wants to do both in your life and through your life. We already read out of Ephesians about not having a life that just looks godless, that just is motivated by selfishness and greed and lust and all those things. And Ephesians just talks about, hey, you know what? You're now in a relationship with God. Don't live a life that's godless in a relationship with God. But you know, there's other things that the Bible talks about that can take our passion and get it off. The scriptures talk about the worries and cares of this life, that your life can literally be so consumed with anxiety and worry and stress and all that, that it's like there's no room for being passionate about, you know, God's purposes in your life or any of those things. Why? Because you're just so full of worry and concern and anxiety. Literally, the scripture says you can be weighed down. It talks about people being weighed down with worry and concern. And so it's just like anxiety and worry can consume your thinking. We can have a life that gets so caught up with the pursuit of the material world that we can actually lose sight of the spiritual world. You know, that our lives can be so much about the here and now that we lose sight of the reality that the here and now is actually a small amount of time relative to an eternity that we're going to live in, that we're all going to enter into. And we can become so caught up in the pursuit of the material world that our hearts can become just consumed with the passion for material possessions and things like that. And then our lives get loaded down with debt and worry, and we're consumed by our consumerism and all of those things. And it just takes our heart into a place where that's what our life becomes totally focused on, and that's what defines us. I think the thing that can really distract our passion as well is the simplicity of selfishness, that we can become so focused on me and my life, keeping me happy, my wants, my wishes, my desires, my ambitions, my goals, that our lives become very small in terms of how they're defined, because we're consumed with trying to keep ourselves happy. And we can lose sight of greater purposes that God really has for our life and how he wants to work in and through us. And so the scriptures talk about, encourage us, keep our passion for the purposes of God. You know, often people connect with Christ from a place of crisis. It's just the way it is. And when that happens, you are so aware of where your life was and what was going on and now that new life and how great it is. And it's like, man, I knew I was in a place of darkness and now I'm in a place of light. I knew I was in a place of where I had a former life that was messed up. Now I have a new life that has got a brand new start in a relationship with Jesus. And you understand transformation and the reality of going from a place of being far from God into a place of being very aware of his presence and walking with him and all the rest in your life. But you know, years later, after your life has changed and you're now successful and making wise decisions, here's the question. Do you still keep a place of gratitude and awareness in your life? Or has life now become just about you, about your family, about your career, about your enjoyment, about your walk with God? All of those things become centered around self. And we can actually lose sight of the greater purposes, that there are people who need Christ and God wants to use you to make that happen. It's just that simple. Keeping your passion on track is about keeping, first of all, I believe, your gratitude for what God has done in your life. That's number one. But number two, it's about staying passionate about God working in the lives of others in the same way that he worked in your life. Staying passionate about that. That's what I love about a day like today. You know, where we're celebrating all these water baptisms, because it is such a vivid reminder that though you might be someone who says, well, man, God really changed my life like 4 decades ago, you know, or even 2 decades ago. But it's such a visible reminder that, and tangible reminder that right now, today, there are people who need to get a relationship with Jesus, who need Jesus to save them, to forgive them, to give them a fresh start, and that is what the gospel is all about. That is what church is all about. That is why we exist. And if we lose sight of that, and our Christian experience just becomes about us and how I like to experience worship and what I like to hear taught in church and, you know, what kind of coffee I want to drink after the service and, you know, it just becomes all about me, then I believe we've lost our relevance. And once you've lost your relevance, it's just a matter of time before you lose the very life that brought about what we're experiencing right now. And so it's always important that we hold on to, even as we sang about earlier, about the cross and the message of the cross of Jesus is that we are lost, but God found us and died for us and rose again from the grave, that we can be forgiven and have a brand new life because of Jesus. And that is our message. And staying passionate about people receiving Christ is what brings relevance and life to the church. That is what has to stay central to what we are about. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. It's talking about where we're at in our walk with God, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, this passage is just accentuating the fact that you were not, but now you are. Yeah. That's what happens when Jesus comes into our life. That we have a, I was not, but now I am. I was far from God, but now I'm close to God. I was making a lot of bad decisions, but I'm making good decisions. You know, I was living in selfishness. Now I'm living for a greater purpose of serving the Lord. I was living lost. Now I'm living found. And he's going on with all this description. And then in the middle of all of this, he says, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, in the midst of God changing your life, there's a purpose, and that is that he wants to use your life to help others who need Jesus as well. Let's stand as we take time to close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this year. What a great year. I thank you, Father, that we've experienced so many good things from you this year. And Father, I thank you that there are old things that need to come into our new year. And God, I pray that we wouldn't lose sight of those things, but Lord, that you would renew us, that you would renew our passion for helping people find Jesus. That you would renew our passion for seeing lives rescued as you change them, as only you can do. Father, I thank you for you renewing our passion to know Jesus, for our relationship with you, God, that is central to what our lives are about. And I thank you so much for that, God. God, I just thank you for opening up our eyes to some of those old things. Let us bring them into the new year. Let us experience all that you have for us. And we thank you, Father, that we can continue to believe you for even greater things than we may have already experienced. You know, as we close today, I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to pray with you. If you're someone who's hearing all about this relationship with Jesus and walking with God and all the rest, and you're like, man, I don't think that's where I'm at. I don't think that's where my life is at. I've got good news for you. Right where you're standing, right now, you can have a conversation with God. You can have a conversation with God where you welcome Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and as your Savior. And you can begin that journey. You can begin that relationship. You can begin to get to know Christ. You can begin to connect with God and discover his purposes for your life. God wants to do amazing things in and through your life. Say, what does it take to get started? The Bible calls it repentance. It's where we basically admit, God, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. But now I'm surrendering to you and accepting you as my Savior and Lord. And when we do that, we begin that relationship where we can get to walk with him and get to know him. With our heads bowed, I want to take that time to pray for you and pray with you. How many here would just by wave of hand, just give me a wave and say, Pastor, you know what? Include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. I want to receive Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to know him in my life. That's awesome. Let's pray with those who are praying right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I ask you to forgive me, and I invite you into my life, confessing you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.